I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We are not just bodies and brains. We are spirit beings. The Bible said God is spirit. And He is the Father of spirits. And we come from Him. And it's connected to breath. The word spirit and breath are sometimes translated interchangeably. And it's because the reason I'm breathing today, my body's breathing, is because my spirit is here. I am inside my body, the spirit of me. When the spirit leaves the body, it can't breathe anymore. There's no more breath. That means the spirit is gone. And when God made Adam and Eve, He breathed the breath of life into them, and Adam became a living soul, a spirit with a soul in a body. And your spirit, or you are a spirit, needs to be nourished and fed from the same source that God gave life to man to begin with. All God's words are God-breathed. So when you hear the anointed word, it's coming of that same life force from the same life source that created man and gave man and woman life to begin with. And your spirit craves this. It does. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the what? Mouth of God. God is not flesh and blood. Now, Jesus has a flesh and bone body. He gave His blood for us. But it's a glorified flesh and bone body that you can touch, that you can see, just like this one. But the Father doesn't have a body like that, and He's not confined to that. Of course, the Holy Spirit is not confined to a body or have a body like that. But you and I are made in the likeness and image of the Father of spirits, who is spirit. And Job said this in the writings of Job. He said, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Whether people realize it or not, your spirit is hungry for the words of God, because our Creator created us to run on that. That's our spirit fuel. That's our energy. That's our life force. And we need to hear His words on a daily basis, on a regular basis, which is why you need to feed on the Word of God for yourself personally, regularly. And you need to go to a good church where you hear the Word preached with an anointing, not just politics and social reform, but the Word. And not just the dead letter of somebody that didn't even pray and see what to preach on, but with some anointing on it, some quickening. Your spirit craves that. Your spirit needs that. And if you get a substantial input of that on a regular basis, you'll become a different person. Hallelujah. You will grow strong. You will start seeing things differently. What used to seem so big won't seem big to you, because God is big to you. what used to seem unreachable seems, you begin to think, well, God can do that. Amen. Right? What used to scare you so bad don't even scare you anymore. You realize you have authority over it. You change into a different person. You become more and more like the Master Himself. Hallelujah. You changed from glory to glory into His image. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm expounding as to why we have faith school, what's going on, and what should happen in every good church and with every good meeting and every good ministry. So let's pray that we receive more of that today. Father, how we thank you for how you've fed us in times past. We thank you for every man and every woman and every pastor and every minister that has spoken the word of God to us. And we thank you for that we can have a Bible of our own. We thank you that we got the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, to teach us and help us. And we submit ourselves before you and yield ourselves to your Spirit again today and say, Lord, feed us and fill us up with your good word in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look, please, again in the book of Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, scripture we've been looking at in a new series that we've begun that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've begun giving reasons from the scriptures why we are sure, why we know it's God's will for us to have abundant provision, all of us. All the time. No exceptions. Now, people hear that sometimes and say, well, you know, everybody is not going to have abundant provision all the time. That's ridiculous. That's unreasonable. Well, everybody's not going to be saved either. Everybody's not going to receive Jesus and be born again. Not everyone's going to make heaven. But it's still God's will for everybody to. It's not His fault if they don't make it. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And it's not His will that any should perish. But once the Lord has provided for us, once He's accomplished redemption and given it to us, and once He's told us about it in the Word and we hear it and know it, well, then something's up to us. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to receive it? Are we going to pursue it? And so we are. We do around here. And so we're asking the question and answering it from the scriptures. Is it always God's will for us to have provision and to have abundance? And you'll find that it is. Not just what I think or what somebody else said. It is written. Our first reason that we've looked at here is because the Lord is my good shepherd. In Psalm 23 verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Go ahead and say that out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
He goes on to talk about making you lie down in green pastures. He talks about verse 5, preparing a table before you. He talks about your cup running over, goodness and mercy following and accompanying you all the days of your life. Well, is provision good?
Yes.
Is abundance good?
Yes.
And mercy is you getting things that you don't deserve. Getting things even when you made a mistake. Even when you went the wrong way, but you realize that you went, uh-oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I went the wrong way. Then you get provision anyway. Woo! You get goodness anyway. Now, if you won't repent and you're hard-headed and stubborn, well, then you can get in lack and stay in lack, and that won't be God's fault. But if a smart sheep, you got dumb sheep and smart sheep. And smart sheep follow the shepherd. Stay with the shepherd. Because it's dangerous when you get away from the shepherd. There's mean predators out there just looking for a little sheep to snack on. Hmm? Somebody say, I'm not a dumb sheep.
I'm not a dumb sheep.
I'm a smart sheep.
I'm a smart sheep.
What does a smart sheep do? Follow close to the Lord your shepherd. When He say, come on, I'm taking you to a good pasture. You go, yes, Lord. I am right here. right? And if he stops real quick, we're going to run into his back because that's how close we are, right? Oh, sorry, Lord, didn't know you were going to stop. But we don't stray. We don't wander off on our own. We don't do our own thing. Huh? We follow our good shepherd. And if you'll do that, Psalm 34 got into this too. We read, there is no want to those that fear him and reverence him and follow him. There's no lack. There's no want. Say it again, the Lord.
The
good Lord
is my good shepherd.
I shall not want. These other translations, I'll read them again, says, I shall not be in want. Another one says, I shall lack nothing. The other one says, I will not be without any good thing. Another one says, I am never in need. Another one says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. A lot of church-going people don't believe that. They expect times of lack. You even hear churches talking about, well, it's the summer slump. Yeah, we always have a slump in the summer. That's prophesying. Huh? That's not just talking about what happened last year or the year before. If you say, this always happens, I always get this, we always have this, every time this, you are prophesying. You are speaking words over your future you should not be speaking. Unless you could say this, I always have everything I need. Right? Even when it doesn't look like it and it doesn't feel like it, that's what faith is all about. And if you'll change what you've been saying, even if something's been that way for years, according to James, it's like taking the rudder of a giant ship and moving it. And you know, a big ship, it doesn't just turn around on a dime when you turn the rudder, but it starts it moving in a different direction. Right? And if you keep that rudder in the right place, it will eventually cause that giant ship in big rough seas even to go the other direction. Right? Instead of going this way, now it's going 180 degrees that way. Well, James is not just talking about ships and that kind of, he's talking about your words and your tongue and your life. Instead of saying, you know, we just struggle, it's just so hard, and you just watch, you know, this is happening with the economy and with the government and with inflation and with this, and times are hard. And it's going to get rougher. Well, in the world, there's going to be tribulation. And there's going to be problems and issues and lack and hard times. And you can't control all of that. But if the Lord is your shepherd, He can take care of you in the midst of it. No matter what's going on, no matter who's in office, no matter what happens at the factory. Come on, are y'all listening? Or what happens to the price of gas? Somebody said, what if it goes up even higher? Well, you just need some more money. Is that right? And if you got extra, then it ain't a problem. You can get what you need. You can do what you need. But if you keep talking, you keep poor mouthing, and you keep talking lack, then it's going to stay, and it's going to get worse. Words matter. What you and I say matters. I mean, you couldn't come at me with a bat and beat me and get me to say that our ministry is going under and that we won't have enough to pay our bills. To me, that's as bad and worse than saying ugly cuss words. Huh? You will not get me to say that. I know that words matter. And I know the Bible said in Hebrews that the Lord Jesus, He is the apostle and high priest of my confession. He works with what I say from the throne. Oh, somebody say, glory to God. So should I be watching what's coming out of my mouth? That's how I got born again. That's how you got born again. I believed it in my heart and I confessed it with my mouth, the Lord Jesus, and that He has raised Him from the dead, and I was born again. Well, that's not just how you get born again. That's also how you live. The just shall walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Overcome by faith, not just get born again. Getting born again was not the the end of it. It was the beginning of a whole way of living and functioning and overcoming. Just like you got born again is how you pay your bills, is how you get your body in over a sickness, is how you deal with every issue. What you believe in your heart. Believe what? What he said about that situation. You believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. So when the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, what do I say? What about what's coming up? What about end of the month? What about end of the year? Come on, help me out. What about if this happened, if that happens? I shall not want. I'll have everything I need. I won't lack for any good thing. Is that scripture? The Lord supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, it takes discipline and faith to say that when it doesn't look that way, when it doesn't feel that way, when bad things are happening around you and it looks bleak and it looks dark. And people will say, well, who do you think you are? If all these people are losing everything and having all these problems, you think you're so special? Why do you think, you know, you're any better than them? It's not about being better than them. They could believe this too if they wanted to. Right? It's about what you choose to believe. And I'm not saying I'm going to be fine because I'm so amazing. I'm going to be fine because I got a good shepherd. I got somebody taking care of me. The Lord didn't say, Keith is amazing, he shall not want. No, Keith has a good shepherd. Yes. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on, say it again. The Lord is my shepherd. What else?
I shall not want.
I shall not want. I shall not want for understanding. I shall not want for faith. I shall not want for peace. I shall not want for joy. I shall not want for good prayer times and good fellowship with the Lord. I shall not want for good friends. I shall not want for good relationships with family and friends. I shall not want for good health and strength. I shall not want for money. Say it twice more. I shall not want for money. I shall not want for money. I shall not want for favor or for deals or for open doors. Whatever I need, right? If you're in the sales business, you say, I shall not want for sales. You know, people talk about, oh, it's hard. Things are tight. This particular thing is down. Well, you're going to experience failure if you agree with them and talk like that. But even if nobody else is selling, you need to say, I'm having sales. I'm having great sales this month. I'm having great sales. I'm having a banner year. Now you say that before there's any black on the ledger sheets, right? You got to say it before. Walking by faith, not by sight. Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd. He leads me into these prosperous places and into these good things. We saw in John 10 in the New Testament that the Lord was saying the very same thing. Use some of the very same language that's in the 23rd Psalm. Because God never changes. If it ever was his will, it's still his will. And if it was his will for somebody else, he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't play favorites or show partiality. It's his will for you. If David could rejoice in God being his good shepherd, I can rejoice in the Lord being my good shepherd just as much. He said in John 10 in the Amplified, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And he said that in connection with being the good shepherd. You know, in some parts of the world, they still shepherd sheep just like they did back there then, centuries, even millennia ago. You know, that a certain season, a man or a woman will call to the sheep. And since they've spent so much time with the sheep, they know their voice. They recognize it. And the sheep tag along and follow them. And they lead them up, you know, when the weather's better, up into the mountains where there's a mineral-rich grass. And then if it gets too cold up there, they lead them down in the valley where's the better grass. And the shepherd is taking care of the flock, always watching out for predators, trying to come get them, always looking to see is any of them injured or some kind of problem, and they treat them and bind them up and take care of them. And this is what the scripture's talking about, that what the shepherd, a good shepherd, is to a good flock, that's what the Lord is to us. And Jesus used it to apply directly to himself. He said, I am the good shepherd. Now, if you grew up in a place where there's still shepherd sheep like that, and you had heard about this amazing shepherd, this wonderful, wonderful shepherd, and then one day you hear he's coming by your village, and he's coming with his flock. And so, man, yeah, you want to see this. And so you come out to the path, and you see him coming in the distance, and there's the sheep behind, and there's the shepherd leading in the front, and you go, okay, great, great. And as he gets closer, you go, oh, that's got to be him. I mean, look at that robe. Beautiful robe, beautiful sandals, beautiful ornaments, beautiful hair, face. You're thinking, oh, yeah, that's got to be the one we've heard about. And he's so impressive. And then he gets close, and you look back at the sheep, and you go, oh, pitiful looking bunch. I mean, this little sheep is little ribs sticking out. Hadn't been fed well, and other little sheep behind him dragging his foot along, you know. He got injured somewhere, and it looks like it's been that way for weeks, you know. And you keep looking through, and this one looks like, you know, a wolf got a hold of him and gave him an injury, and it's not been treated. It looks like it's getting infected, and half of them look like they hadn't eaten in a week. And what would you say? What would you think? I don't care what he looks like or what they say, not a good shepherd. Right? Why? Because the real test of the good shepherd is the condition of the flock. Right? And see, that's why the enemy fights these things so hard. Because he wants us to have that same contradictory nonsense of saying, you know, yeah, the Lord's my shepherd, the Lord's my shepherd, the Lord, and the Lord is good, the Lord is good. And then turn around and say, he sent cancer on us to teach us something. And he sent a storm and a car wreck, stole our relative, and we don't know why. And then turn around and go, don't you want to join the flock? And people go, no. You know, they already got somebody that steals, kills, and destroys. Right? No, it is confusion, and it is not the truth. Our current condition, and as we go through life, is a direct reflection on our shepherd. It is. And it is never a good witness that our needs are not met, we're not doing well, we're barely surviving, we're subsisting, and then we talk about how good the Lord is to us. Because people look at us. And they see what's going on, and they know what's going on. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not about us trying to put forth a facade and impress people. That's not real. That's phony. But it should be that we know our Lord well enough, and we're following Him, and we're having His will manifested in our life enough that it becomes a witness. And people around us that see us and know that when other people are not being able to pay their bills, we're able to pay ours. Amen. Is that a witness or not? Yes. And when other people, you know, just stayed sick and couldn't work and didn't get over it, the Lord kept us. Yes. And the Lord healed us. Yes. And the Lord healed our babies. Yes. And our children. Yes. And we either never had it or we got over it real quick. Yes. And it didn't stop us and it didn't slow us down. Can you say amen? Yes. This is a witness. To the not to how amazing we are, but to the goodness of our shepherd who's keeping us. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And even if the economy goes really bad and people, you know, they can't start a business or they had to close theirs or they had to close different ones, and we're able to open another branch. Come on, you see what I'm saying? We're able to not just survive, but we paid stuff off. And we're doing well. That is, people would begin to say, how are you doing that? How are you doing that in this economy? Do not take the credit for yourself. Do not talk about how hard you've been working and what a smart idea you had. No, you couldn't have got out of bed if your shepherd didn't help you and quicken you. Where'd you get that good idea from, right? How'd you get that favor that you needed to start that thing and continue that thing? No, all this prosperity, all this abundance, all the needs being met, all of you being kept and prospered is a witness. Oh, somebody say witness. It's a witness. It's a good witness. And then when you say, well, the Lord showed me, and the Lord kept me, and the Lord spared us, and the Lord added this to us. Then when you say, and we're still taking applications for the flock. Huh? Would you like to be a part of this flock? Would you like to have the best shepherd in the universe? Would you like to have the one that can do everything for you and take care of you, watch after you too? And thinking people will go, yes, yes, sign me up for that. Yes, yes. And that's why the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance and draws them to God. And that's why the enemy fights this so hard. Oh, you start talking about God blessing you materially or financially. I mean, religious, confused folks come out of the woodwork and go, oh, no, 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 that's materialism. No, 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 that money's evil. No, it's the love of it. That's the problem. Quit being confused about that. And in this world where people put so much emphasis on this, it's supposed to be a witness in our lives. Not that we're, you know, going around talking about all we've got and all we've done. Nope, nope, nope. But when we need something, it's there. When, you know, the enemy's coming, God protects us and spares us and delivers us. Can you say it out loud again? The Lord, is my shepherd.
Is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not lack.
I will always have everything I need in this life because the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Well, our time's up again, but are you getting stirred up a little bit about this? And you know, you might say, well, you already talked about that before. Well, I'm going to talk about it again because you don't just need it in your head, you need it in your heart. And you hear it, and that's how faith comes. And you get so persuaded that the enemy himself cannot talk you out of this anymore. Can you say amen? Well, there's a lot more to be seen in future classes, so come back with us tomorrow. We'll see you soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today. But you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.